2 weeks ago, I started a little mini-series on the blessing that we say to one another at the end of our service. It is so beautiful, and I started with the history of this letter, 2 Corinthians, which is actually the fourth letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and how he ended the letter with this amazing blessing for that church. And it is the only Pauline blessing that invokes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful, beautiful blessing. And I looked at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a huge subject which we covered minimally at that time. So this morning I want to go on to the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that part of this particular blessing. Some years ago, in fact many years ago now, I was a teacher at a Sunday school in our church in England. And one of the lessons we did with the children, 5 to 9, so little ones, was I would ask them this question: who is the most important person in the world? And to hear their answers was lovely. Now, I'm from England, as you know, so a lot of the answers were the Queen, which was wonderful. A lot of the answers were Mum or Dad, and occasionally a teacher, which was all wonderful stuff. And then I would say to them, okay, so who do you think God thinks is the most important person in the world? Ooh, that was more difficult. But we would usually come up with more or less the same answers. And then I would say to them, in this box, I have a picture of the most important person in the world. And you're going to go up and look in the box and then not tell anybody, and sit down until everybody has been and looked in the box. So that's what they would do. They would go up and they would look in the box and then they would come away and sit down again. And when everybody had finished, I would say to them, so, who is the most important person in the world? And they'd all go, me. Because, of course, in the box was a mirror. We've grown up. And sometimes I think we lose that childlikeness that they had, which was so beautiful. So the question this morning for us is, when we look in that mirror, do we see the most important person in the world that God loves? Or do we see something else? Do we see someone who is beaten down? Do we see someone who's weary? Do we see someone who's perhaps guilty or in shame? God is in that mirror, looking at you, and you are the most loved child of God. No matter where you are or what you are the most loved child of God. And the reason for that is because He is love. So I want to look this morning firstly at a passage in 1 John. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God is love. It is impossible to know God and not know love. The two are inseparable. Now, it is possible to do right and not know God. And when rightness takes the place of love, it's called religion. When religion takes the place of love in anyone's life, it causes pain to you and to others. The thing about God's love is that it's intrinsic part of him. It is not a quality he possesses. We can say someone is kind, someone is generous. That is a quality they possess. God is love. It is intrinsically who and what he is. He is nothing but love, if you like. He cannot be anything but love. It's so difficult and yet so simple to grasp. It really is. Everything was created in him and through him and for him. So if that's true, then everything was created in love, through love, for love. He created us in his image. So we were created in love to represent his image, an image of love. I want you to imagine the Godhead at creation. As God spoke and things were created through Christ and came into being, all the stars, the galaxies, the planets, till he came and created this beautiful planet that we call Earth and we call home. And everything that he created here in this planet, the delight of a butterfly's wing, the majesty of mountains, the roar of seas, all of the, can you imagine the delight? And he did all that, I believe, for one reason only, to create a home for his most masterful creation of all, you and me. Lastly, he created man in, they created man in their own image. We were created in his image. And if we are his image, we are love. We cannot be anything else because that is how God created us. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is Christ. Everything is held together by Christ, including us. And we are in him. And if we are in him, then we are in his love, because we are love. John 1:3 says God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. Nothing. Nothing was created except through Christ. You were created through Christ in his image. I'm sorry I'm repeating, but it is so beautiful. It is so wonderful that God loves us so much. He created us in his image. When God first created Adam and Eve, he walked in the garden with them. He spent time with them for their sakes and for our sakes. He warned them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even as he knew that they would. Even as he knew that the fall would happen, and we would become separated from him. But his love is so perfect. He already had a plan in place to redeem us and bring us back to him. That is how much he loves us. Love was looking out for us even before we were born. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6, It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." God's love encompasses everything. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." Put your name in there. "For God so loved you, me, us, that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Ephesians 2:4 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Grace and love go together. It's like a hand and a glove. It just fit together. So how can we know and experience this love? Ephesians 3:16-19. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." This is one of Paul's most beautiful prayers, the beauty of which, I think, can only be understood when we experience it. Not by loving God, but by having Christ revealed in us, to us. I want to say that again. Not by loving God, which we do, but by having Christ revealed in us, to us. It's a revelation of the Spirit to experience fully God's love. How high in Christ we are seated in heavenly realms. How wide in Christ our lives billow in the wind of the Spirit, and we are stretched. How deep in Christ are the deepest mysteries. And how long in Christ before the creation of the world. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You see, length, height, and width are three dimensions used to measure an object. It's used to measure the size of something. We cannot measure God's love. He's saying, "Can you grasp?" No, we can't. It's unimaginable. But there is a fourth dimension here. How long? And that dimension is time. How long? A mystery that in the Old Testament to the prophets was that, a mystery. But in Christ is fully revealed. Romans 16:25-26, paraphrase, "The message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known." Jesus Christ is the mystery revealed for love. 1 John 4:19 says, We love because he first loved us. God's love always takes the initiative. We love in response to that initiative. Colossians 3:14 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Having experienced God's love, then we can pour that love out to others. It is not something we hold on to. It is, as the woman at the well heard, a well of water that rushes up and overflows. God's love overflows from us out to others. That is what God's love does. If you want some homework, read 1 Corinthians 13. My phone's turned around, it's all right. I'm not going to read it all. But if it said, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The love of God outpours from us to others. That's what it's all about. Because loved people love people. You have to experience the love of God to love others as God loves us. Loved people love people. But as I said before, the revelation of knowing how much you are loved by God comes only through the Spirit. The Spirit has to reveal it to us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is within us, and he teaches us, he comforts us, he brings all things to our remembrance. He is the one that Jesus said, I am going back so that he may come and bring all these things back. Jesus, as Son of Man, was totally bound in time and space. He healed many. But he knew that he could not reach the world. So he passed one that baton on to the disciple. But it is through the coming of the Spirit that enabled the word to go out and reach every nation of the world. It is through the Spirit that you and I experience God's love. It is through the Spirit that we experience what God has for each one of us. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit opens up a field of openness, if you like, in two ways, with God and with each other. Remind you of anything? With God and with each other. The fellowship has a vertical and a horizontal component. The horizontal indicates the breadth of the fellowship of those whose faith points to God. The fellowship is both with God and with fellow believers. With God, in John 14:16, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit helps us in our fellowship with God. He also helps us in our fellowship with one another. In Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, which is what we do every Sunday when we come together as believers and experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. In Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Make friends with the Holy Spirit. He is our helper, our guide. He will reveal to us the things of God, the things of Christ. He will speak to us. His Spirit with our spirit lifts us into the love of God that we truly can experience. I love to worship. If you see me here on a Sunday, you'll know that. But I love to worship at home too. I'm just forever in that beautiful place. And it is the Spirit within me that opens my heart to worship our God. It is the Spirit within me that says, he loves you. I can stand in front of that mirror, whether I've been criticized, whether somebody has done me down, somebody is not like this, somebody is not like that, but I can stand in front of that mirror and go, I am the most loved person on this earth because God said so. And so can you. You can stand in front of that mirror and you can say, I am the most loved person on this earth because God says so. Do that. Never take God's love for granted. It's such a beautiful thing. We cannot exist without it. Everything was created in it, for us, through us, for love. We live our lives in that light, that beautiful light of God's love. Then we can give that love to others, and they will see in us the light reflected from Christ.